straight to the Press Review, and Tony is with us today, starting with our main story, of course, the US elections. And there is one thing which the world's press can all agree on. That is, it could go either way, Antonia.
Absolutely. Let's start with this cartoon from The New Yorker, which I think we'll agree says it all. You've got the Statue of Liberty walking on a tightrope. Now into the front pages of the US press, the Washington Post, historic race down to the wire. And you've got the two candidates pictured back to back and a column on each. You've got the title, Trump scales down his bravado in final push as he tries to win back up a little bit of favourability ratings. And meanwhile, on the other side, Harris wraps up bid in optimistic yet skittish mood, suggesting that within her campaign there is optimism, but it's cautious optimism. And there are massive fears that the data we have, the suggestion that they're extremely close and it could go either way, massive fears that the data's faulty. Now, in the New York Post, extremely pro-Trump paper, as you can probably tell, Donald aims for historic return to the White House. In big text, the tiebreaker, and Donald Trump making a celebratory movement. And you've also got, it says in the smaller print, will it be a political comeback for the ages, or will Harris become first female president? Now, to give you an idea of this extremely close mood, the Daily Beast has this on the town of Dixville Notch. First town to have its votes in from the election. We have some extremely early results. Of the six residents in this New Hampshire hamlet, it's a 50-50 tie. Three for Trump, three for Harris. Now, Forbes magazine gives us a note of caution on that. Midnight vote split 3-3 between Trump and Harris, but small town is not much of a bellwether. Apparently Hillary Clinton won there in 2016 4-2. So just goes to show six is not a big enough sample size for a poll.
Yeah, very very down the middle. Now, the two candidates, of course, have totally different stances, for example, on the Middle East, but much of the regional press there doesn't seem to think this will make much difference, Antonia.
Absolutely. So let's look at the Tehran Times, first of all, from Iran. They have this front page, Harump, a conflation of the two names, which also sounds a lot like a grunt of discontentment. On the inside pages, they say that under either either outcome, support for Israel is unlikely to waver. They point out that although Donald Trump was the one that withdrew the US from the JCPOA agreement, Biden also didn't bring them back in, and Harris and Trump both agree on maintaining sanctions on Iran. Haaretz has this piece, the ever-shifting Middle Eastern kaleidoscope doesn't care who is in the White House. And they point out that although Trump boasts that during his administration there was peace in the Middle East, his main diplomatic achievement, the Abraham Accords, which normalised relations between Israel and the UAE, Israel and Bahrain, Israel and Morocco, hasn't prevented war in the region. But it's also not handing a victory to the Biden administration on that either. And it says in the balance sheets of administration's concrete successes and failures, it's hard to discern victory on points when comparing Trump and Biden administrations. The Jerusalem Post here, though, is a bit of an exception in this sample. It says, does Israel's fate hang in the balance here? The article goes into three different scenarios. The first, electoral chaos. If there is if the result is contested, that's the kind of chaos that they say would strategically paralyse the US and would be dangerous for its ally Israel. The article points out that the Hamas attack on the 7th of September happened just days after Kevin McCarthy was removed as House Speaker. They say that a Harris win might give Israel more of an incentive to work towards a deal now in the last months of Biden, given Harris could be a tougher broker for Israel. And the last scenario they discuss is a Trump win, which they say would create fresh urgency for the Biden administration, fresh urgency also for Hamas, but may lead to Israel taking more risks with Iran, knowing that Donald Trump will support them even more, potentially for fear of having to put boots on the ground when he is in office, if he does win.
And finally from Antonia, we talked about this briefly in the news. Antonia's got a little bit more information about it for us, though. The pygmy hippo, born at Edinburgh Zoo, is causing global superstardom.
Absolutely. I didn't realise you'd already talked about it, but I don't think we can really cover this story too much. So this is Haggis, born last week, pygmy hippo, an endangered species mostly found in West Africa. Now, the Edinburgh Zoo announced her birth on Twitter, saying Mudeng, Hudeng, introducing Haggis. Now, Mudeng is going to be Haggis's main rival going forward. Mudeng is a pygmy hippo born earlier this year in a Thai zoo. But Haggis has now entered the ring and wants a piece of that internet fame. The zoo later issued an apology for this tweet, saying, this is our official notes up apology. We were wrong to pit Haggis and Mudeng against each other. There is space in this world for two beautiful pygmy hippo divas, and we should celebrate them all. Sorry to Mudeng. Let's work it out. On the remix, of course, there absolutely is room for two of them. It's an endangered species with only 2,500 left in the world, and I'm sure we all look forward to following Haggis's adventures.
Yeah, it was very different. We see, we just talked about Mudeng. You bring us Haggis. It is Haggis and not Harris, isn't it?
Haggis, yeah.
Haggis, yeah.
We're in Scotland.
Yeah, exactly. But you just never know in these political times. Antonia, thanks very much, Antonia. Kerrigan brings us a little bit more pygmy hippo news on France 24. All the latest news, elections mostly, coming up for you after the break, so do stay with us.